Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Yeah! Back in action, back in my driver's seat. That's right, folks. S-Burger 13 here, a.k.a. Steven Berger, IL sales manager representing in the one and only IL studio offices. Looking over the beautiful Inner Harbor today. Finally feeling like fall weather has arrived, which means only one thing. Football season's here. No, I'm just joking. In actuality, it means one thing. Fall lacrosse is getting ready to get geared up, which means it's the start of a week. It's the start of a new week, and that means I'm getting back in the studio to give you guys this week's fresh Inside Lacrosse Preps Podcast Fall Series. We're off. We're in running. And this is our third so far, and I've had a blast getting on the mic, talking to all my Lax fans out there, and really just trying to blow up the scene as it relates to what we have going on here at Inside Lacrosse, but more importantly, kind of giving everybody the ins and outs of what it means and what it entails to be an IL Preps athlete these days. Our biggest focus recently has been recruiting, and then really been around the fall ball event scene. So if you haven't tuned in to our past two podcasts, please check them out. You can subscribe and you can tune into those on iTunes. And be sure to check out on Twitter at @inside_lacrosse at IL Preps. We're blasting those out at IL Invitational. Just follow us on the social media channels, folks. We know you follow everyone else. Why wouldn't you follow the best, the one and only source of the sport, Inside Lacrosse? So, with that said, let me just give you guys a quick little snapshot of really what we're going to get into today. We really are going to take a different approach to this week's show. I'm going to bring a couple guests on, and really what we're going to do is give you a sneak peek. Yes, give you, listeners, a sneak peek of the October Inside Lacrosse recruiting issue. Let me repeat that one more time. We are going to give you a sneak, you, listeners, fans, a sneak peek of what has become really the best, in my eyes, and one of the biggest issues that IL puts together annually, and that's our October issue. So over the course of the year, IL comes out with 11 fantastic issues, October becoming one of the premier ones where we're hitting heavy on the recruiting realm. We're really going deep diving into the new classes of 2016, and we're also going big time into the up-and-comers, the underclassmen, those kids that have made some noise this summer and are really putting themselves out there in front, you know, of not only the lacrosse scene, but in front of Inside Lacrosse's editorial staff. And we are going to give a breakdown of those rankings and really what you can find in this October issue. So, I'm pretty confident that our editorial staff is fired up for this issue. I know that a lot of work, a lot of hard effort goes into putting this issue together. The summer months have passed us the opportunity to see these guys out on the field, to see these guys live in action is now passed. And so for our editorial crew to really sit down and do two things. One, they're getting ready to see the recruiting class is live in action on the fall ball fields at their college programs. The anticipation is over, so we can actually see the product in place. But the second piece, as I mentioned, is that next sort of realm, that next sort of layer of kids that are coming through the pipeline and that are getting out to the fields, that are trying to showcase their talents, their skills to become the next top class of the lacrosse generation. And that's the class, really the class of 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019s. And I know you're all listening out there. I know you guys are all working your butts off to do what you can to achieve that next level of success. And I just want to tell all of you to keep working, you know, keep busting your butts in the classroom and really keep putting yourselves out there. This is a great sport. It can do great things for you. And in each and every one of you that are really investing yourself in the game, you know, only good things to come for everyone out there, no matter what level you play at. So best of luck and, you know, be ready to go run to the newsstands because the IL October issue is hot. It's out. And I'm ready to bring you guys all of the ins and outs of what this issue has in store. So, you know, in order for me to do that, you know, it really in order to give the right, you know, sort of lay the ground to give you that, you know, taste that you're looking for, folks, the one guy that I got to bring in on the hot seat who's been here for many years and a guy that I've gotten to know since I've gotten to work here, and that's Inside Lacrosse's official recruiting and feature editor, Jeff Shannon. Jeff, welcome to the show. How did the summer go for you? It seems like you were out in that chair, recruiting chair, just like many other college coaches are. But how did the summer go for you? You know, some highlights, any things that...
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to, we find there's a lot of different resources you want to throw into recruiting, so getting out there and mimicking what the coaches do is always important. Now, it's just one piece of what we do, but it's important for us, myself and the rest of the IL crew, and I really think the difference this year is that our entire editorial staff is really invested in that, so all of us were out there looking at different players. I mean, we had the a nice aspect of what we do now is we have the IL events, which help us see some of the really top kids come to the Baltimore region, and we get to spend some time with them and really focus in on them. I also got to go to the Under Armour events, a couple different other regional showcases to really get a sense of those kids. And really, for me, it's an extension of what I see in the springtime with the high school lacrosse. So you got to add up all that body of work together to really paint a picture of who some of these kids are on the field and get some thoughts about them.
So, you know, this seems like then probably one of the biggest issues that we put together, our October issue, is as we kind of, as you mentioned, it's a combo of all that sort of two seasons almost in the lacrosse ranks. You got the spring season, you got the summer season. You know, I'm just looking right now very quickly at our features within this next one, and you got the top 20 freshman class, you got the IL Power 100 freshman, you know, positional rankings, the young guns, the X-Men, which has now kind of been sort of a new generation that has sort of popped themselves back on the map as it relates to specialized players. And then, of course, we'll get to talk to Hallie later on the IL women's side, but this is a big issue for you guys.
Yeah, it's. I would say it's, knowing the history of the issue, it is our most important in terms of just strictly sales. People love when this issue comes out. They want to know what our thoughts are, what our educated opinions are on the recruiting scene, because there's a lot of information out there, and the company has done a pretty good job distilling that over the years, going back to when our founder, Bob Carpenter, was running this gig in the late 90s, when the scene was very different to when I came on in the mid-2000s to now, which is, again, it's grown and evolved so drastically even between then and now. So it is it's a vital piece of our coverage calendar.
That's awesome. Yeah, and just so I can give, you know, you mentioned that history, I just want to give our listeners a few words. I know you've been on this a lot, but I want to give them just a quick little shout out. You know, G-Shan, as he's known in the office, covers the D1 college recruiting and high school for IL Magazine and InsideLacrosse.com. He also sees the oversee the production of the Face-Off Yearbook and our annual NCAA season preview. Graduate of Tulane University and written for a number of different magazines, publications, journals throughout his tenure, MLL. And you know, most famously is I like to look back in our old high school stomping days. He was a member of the Archbishop Curley program, so you know, we got a little Baltimore Baltimore battle going on in the offices here with some good standouts from the Charm City high school days.
Yeah, you know? old school
man. So G Sharon, I know that IO is lucky to have you, and I'm fired up here as I do each and every week in the spring season. Come swing by your desk, pick your brain on you know, maybe some scouting reports or some things that I should you know, keep an eye out for. Maybe some top players that are kind of making some names in the ranks. So I know IO is very lucky to have you, and you're doing a heck of a job. So, you know, with that said, I'm going to kind of go down some questions with you, mm-hmm. and of course, you know, feel free to, you know, kind of take it as you wish. But you mentioned a little bit of history. Can you give me a sense of how many recruiting issues have you been a part of? How many is this for you?
We would go back for me to the 2006 recruiting issue, which I can't even remember who was on the cover of that. I remember the one the year before was our famous Syracuse cover with Pat Parrott and who was also on that? Lavelle and a bunch of other guys.
Yeah, okay.
And then I was I came on the year after that. One of our former writers, Mike Keegan, sort of spearheaded recruiting at that period of time. Mike out there is a physician's assistant these days, but one of a really smart mind when it came to lacrosse. I latched on and kind of followed him a little bit in his career, and then I helped set up the infrastructure for a lot of what we do today since then. And, you know, helped launch a couple different careers. It's been fun. And a lot of work has gone into making this aspect of IL an important aspect. I still think there's lots of work to do. I wrote a column that introduces the recruiting issue this year, and I talk a little about what I'd like to see for us to do, continue to do in the future. But for the resources and infrastructure that we set up, I think it's been an awesome aspect of the company, and I continue to look forward to growing that.
Now, since your first, you know, hand involved in the, you know, that issue all the way to now, you know, can you maybe give us some highlight? What's changed? You know, maybe what are some things that have evolved over that course of, you know, it seems like about 10 years or so, right? I mean, close to it.
Yeah, it's been a dramatic. The pace of recruiting has exploded in the time that I've covered it. I wrote right a little bit. One of my first big recruiting stories was I remember calling the Stanwyck House when Steele had committed to Virginia, and he had done that right before his junior year of high school, which was at that time one of the earliest commits, and I think he was one of maybe one or two kids around that time who had given his verbal commitment. I think maybe Tyler Fiorito, the goalie from Princeton
yep.
did it like a month later, and that was a tough, you know, at that time, verbally committing to an Ivy League at that age was they had to really walk the tightrope a little bit of having that information out there. Since then, I mean, earlier this year we published a report of a class of 2019, so the kid is not even a freshman.
Hasn't even played on a varsity
correct.
Team yet, right?
The key's Canadian, so the rules there are a little different. But, yeah, basically, he is a young gun in that aspect, and he is given his verbal to commitment to Virginia within the kids who are going into their sophomore year of high school, which would be the class of 2018. We have over 150 verbal commitments already in that group. So that process, the process of identifying, locking down, and setting up your class at the Division I level has grown tremendously for a lot of different factors. People really want to, they see it as a competitive edge at this point. Now there's a question as to, is that true or not? Well, some of the data is going to start playing itself out the next couple of years. And you're seeing already, we did a whole feature in the spring on the response to that recruitment process, which is other Division I programs are taking their time watching kids and then poaching verbal commitments from other programs, kids that they like, kids that they offer a better opportunity to. And you're seeing that process. So it's really has escalated to a point that's pretty competitive and pretty, I gotta imagine, stressful for the majority of the kids involved with it. And again, we'll see how that continues to become a part of the whole lacrosse world and the recruiting process. But that's been the biggest growth, is just watching it go from zero to 60 over 10 years.
And you know, a guy like Steele Stanwyck, you mentioned, not really until the end of his junior year, right? And now you mention over, you know, hundreds of kids just getting into their sophomore year, you know, have already sort of dropped that verbal commitment, that which is, as we all know, you know, that next phase. Okay, I made that verbal commitment. You know, I have to continue to do everything else, whether it's perform in the classroom, perform on the field, and deal with distractions, because, you know, maybe somebody comes along and presents you another opportunity that, you know, you didn't think about. So it's crazy. I think there's probably a lot more institutions, specifically when you think about maybe in the D2 ranks, that have some more money to offer than they did 5-6 years ago. So there's an increase there. You know, the D3 ranks is not going away. It's continuing to grow. And of course, when you're really pinching down to the top, the best of the best at the D1 level, you know, if they're not already, you know, sort of securing their classes, you know, way prior to a kid hitting his junior year, it seems like that, you know, they might have just missed one guy or two guys, or one guy didn't pan out, but it seems like that's really been sort of the focus. I think it's a good thing. I think there's, as you mentioned, probably some things in your editorial that you bring up that could be, you know, a bad side of it for our sport. But we can only see it as it continues to grow. And I think that's kind of my next, you know, piece of this conversation is it's only going to grow. And so, you know, you seeing it grow, you seeing this issue be put together, what is it that you love about this issue? You know, I mean, there's got to be something, you know, you had mentioned from the combo of all the work, from the review of the spring all the way to the summer. You know, what is it that you love most about putting this issue together, that really kind of, at the end of it, you kind of look back and you kind of take a deep breath?
I like sharing the stories of kids, especially kids that I like and I think whose stories should be shared. Making sure that those talents are showcased well. I mean, again, I'm following these kids for, at this point, 3 to 4 years of their high school careers, and their prep careers, sometimes 5, depending on if they do a prep year or reclassify. So it's a long story and a long time to kind of build relationships with people. And it's, well, especially when you like the kids or the kids that, or the coaches that they're working with. A lot of people I end up talking to are coaches that have worked with these players for several years over that time. You get a sense of who the kids are and the stories that you want to share. And that's my favorite aspect of this and our recruiting coverage in general, is looking at the stories and getting them out there for our recruiting audience and for the programs that they're going to, kind of setting them up for that. It's tough. Well, you're ranking kids, so there's an expectation of those rankings being an aspect of who these kids are. And I think that's an important part of it, but getting the overall picture of who these kids are and where they fit into the program and the personalities and the type of traits that they'll bring to a program, if they're leaders, if they're strong support players, all those pieces, just getting those stories out there and providing an introduction for an NCAA audience who maybe didn't follow their careers in high school. Maybe some of the kids they did, or some of the recruits for their favorite program did, but being able to share the whole breadth of the talent that's coming in is an enjoyable part of this issue.
And you mentioned you have a, you know, sort of a connection, and there's a time where, you know, this player pops on your radar screen, you know, and now, you know, it kind of becomes somebody on your list, and I'm sure some you get to know very well. You know, some may have higher expectations in your mind, or other folks in our offices. And I think that's Probably the cool thing and unique thing is that, you know, you do see it over time. It's not just a one stop, you know, learn about a kid in a year and then he's kind of off the grid. You know, it's becoming, you know, there tends to be more rapport and more engagement or more opportunity to see them over time. And I'm just looking at, for example, you mentioned, you know, the little stories around these. I think it's fantastic because now it just doesn't, I don't just see one player, where he went to school and the college he's going to. You know, I can get a little sense of who he is in 20, 30, 40 words or less. And that's, you know, that's special, as you mentioned, not just for IL to build that relationship, but for when kids, programs, parents see that, there's more thought behind it, which I think is something that we do pretty heavily. And I think we try to make sure we dot the I and cross the T as it relates to sort of that extra bit, that extra touch of content. Now, what about, you know, as you mentioned, the rankings? Like, I love a depth chart. Let's G-Shin. A depth chart on my team is the way that kids compete. That's the way that, you know, you can really match yourself up. And I always tell the kid at the bottom of the depth chart, he's not the worst player on the team by no means. There's just somebody playing better than him or has some better tools or does things a little bit better than he does. But doesn't mean that just because you're number 8 on the depth chart, you know, there's no shot of you moving up. I would assume that's the same thing as we put our rankings together. You could pair up some of these guys within, you know, within 10 rankings. One guy may have one great day and the next, you know, so it's hard, like you had said, there's a sensitivity there, but I think it's great for our sport, for guys to see themselves lined up next to somebody else. And what are your thoughts on that? How do you keep yourself up at night thinking about it, or, you know, do you kind of feel pretty confident with the crew that we have? And
yeah, I used to really, really stress about player position. And it's still an important part. It's the, you know, when we're putting this together, it's the most important part that I continue to analyze and we continue to analyze. But over time, I've let that stress flow away a little bit. One, because I understand the team that I'm working with and the people that I talk to a lot more. You just build those relationships over time and you get a sense of who's telling you the truth, whose information I take with a hint of salt. Mm-hmm. Who you have to, you know, who within your editorial team you rely on to provide really good information. And then you go from there and you start laying the pieces down. Again, what I wrote a little about in the magazine, I think there's a next evolutionary step in what we do. And again, hopefully soon you'll start seeing the pieces of that to really get to that sense of, as you say, okay, what's the difference between 1 and 3? Well, maybe that difference is infinitesimal. It's tiny, you know. So how do we showcase that? How do we categorize that? Where's the cutoff between the real blue chips and then a really strong supporting cast? That's where I would like, as we move forward, to focus on is get to that point where we can really get a sense of not just 1 to 50, and I think that's always important. People love rankings. People love listings. And it's an important editorial component of what we do. And I think out of all the listings that we do, the Power 100 that we release every year is my favorite because that really gives – that's four to 5 years of information being distilled into 100 players, and it gives you a good baseline for what to look to in the out of the freshman class coming up each year. Now, again, like how do you rate – what's a top 20 goalie versus a top 10 attack man, a top 50? Those are interesting questions that I like continue to work on and to distill as time goes over. But it's definitely I enjoy the rankings and enjoy showcasing the kids.
And that's the Power 100 is the, you know, tradition that I've always really enjoyed. You know, I love seeing the positional rankings and, you know, breaking down. That's a great thing, but the top 100, now it's like the buzz of all these kids, finally, they're on campus. You know, there's now an actual sneak peek of them, you know, live in action, whether they're, you know, tearing it up or whether they're kind of learning from the upperclassmen. It really depends on, you know, what is in store in that program, because the hype is sort of now over, and now it's ready to just see the pieces in play. So as Jeff mentioned, and I think there's kind of two big pieces within this October recruiting issue. You just shed the light. There's the Power 100, where we can see those kids over the past 4 years who we've covered, we've highlighted. They're now in their respective college programs. Where do they rank? Outside of that, we also do the positional breakdown. So how do they rank within their positions? The top 20 goalies, top 40 defensemen, midfielders, and attackmen. And now, which has become something as a, as we've seen, obviously in the professional ranks, the college ranks is still very heavy at the faceoff X, and this specialized position, you know, really becoming something that programs are depending on. Having a guy at the X who can dominate, and they can feel confident that this person's going to be bring, you know, sort of, you know, a next level to their program. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's our cover. The cover of our recruiting issue is built around.
You hear that, folks? It is the cover. the emphasis behind the X-Men is our cover.
And I thought one of our staff writers, Patrick McEwen, who came on, who really contributed a lot of face-off focus in the spring. He did his FOGO rankings through the NCAA season. Took that knowledge base, applied it to the recruiting scene when it comes to face-off players, and got a sense of how important freshman face-off, recruiting face-off men can be for a program. And where it fits into different programs. And from that, we highlight several players who we think could have an impact on a team. If at the X, it's at the X. Most of the guys are focused there. We got some multi-tool players, though. That's also, I think, important to look at with that. Some guys, it is one tool in their pocket, and they may be more vital to their team in other positions. But I think it's important to showcase that tool helped them get showcased. And you look at the stats. Patrick did a really interesting breakdown, and you can read the issue, and it gives you the real hardcore statistics. But face-off freshmen have been the most impactful freshmen, at least in the last 5 years. It switches off with goalies a little bit, but really it's face-off freshmen coming in. They can make a huge impact on a team as either the primary or a backup secondary face-off contributor on a team that needs it, and you saw a little bit that. I mean, Baptiste last year for Denver was, you know, the first team All-American, I want to say, since Mikey Powell.
Yeah,
a huge contributor there. But even some players like a Hunter Moreland at Hopkins, who comes in and helps with that position there. Some other players. It's really you can make an impact early, and I think we wanted to showcase that with this issue, and especially with some of the kids coming in. We think there's going to be some interesting impact players at that position in the 2016 season.
Do you think, and not to sidetrack too much, but we just saw a few weeks ago the high school rules just changed their a majority of their rules to fit what the NCAA does, okay? So, and you also have some of the premier leagues in the country, top high school programs in the country, play by NCAA rules. Off the cuff, do you think, A, that the benefit of those players playing NCAA rules prior to getting to college gives them an advantage? And then a part B, do you think kids now, because the face-off rules, the face-off, you know, the ways in which it's conducted, the mechanics are all the same from high school all the way to the college, do you think that we're only going to see more X-Men arise and more freshmen, as you mentioned, make a larger impact? Just now, everyone's kind of on that same playing field?
It's interesting. For the first part of your question, yes, I think it's definitely going to help recruits. I noticed there'd be some games, a lot of games, especially in the top tier in the Maryland region or Maryland, Philly, D.C., kind of this core, are played on the NCAA level. But when you watch teams that were using the high school, the NFHS rules, they were still going by sort of antiquated face-off rules where you weren't getting the penalties on the after three false starts and those type of things. Guys could do penalties all day. making sure those guys are on par with what the NCAA does will help them immensely moving forward. You just can't get away with that at the college level, and it's a shame that they've had to been able to do that in the high school level, and it's not preparing them for what they're going to face. Within the face-off guys, it'll be interesting. I think the rule change that we saw with the clamp last year, where guys were able to clamp in their stick and then flip it, and you could even score with it in the back of your stick. That was the best part. that rule change forced a lot of players to change their game, and we're still seeing the results of who's going to come out of that and still be a top recruit and who is going to really struggle with those changes. So that's an interesting element that gets thrown into the development and recruiting of these guys. I think there's also an element of face-off play in particular that you can't teach. And you notice it with guys, and then the name escapes me, but Brian's face-off guy last couple of years. Some other guys, or my favorite face-off guy of all time, Jeff Schneider at Denver. These guys didn't face off in high school. What they were strong people. They were gritty people. A lot of them had a wrestling football background. They came in with the ability to understand leverage, and they picked up a stick and they rolled. That's something that you can't teach. So you can have all the technique in the world, but when you're mano a mano with another athlete who wants it more than you, that can factor into the position. And that's one of those factors I think it's under-recruited a little bit. I would, if I was an NCAA program, I'd take a gamble on a wrestler or an athlete like that and say, here's a stick. Take everything else you know about what you do and apply it to this position. And I think you would see pretty good results. Again, you saw it a little bit with Brian. You saw it with Schneider. You see it with some other guys where it's a position where a unique athlete can come in and dominate just by his skills and his will, and all the practice in the world is going to save you from that guy.
And, you know, a lot of strong suits, too, that are helping those X-Men is you can't forget about the wing play. And I think those rules, the rule changes, have allowed a lot more of wing play to be involved.
Become
a team, you know, you have a guy who can scrap, who can make it a ground ball, is only going to increase your chances of you being more successful at the X, but also now your team ultimately, you know, reaping the benefits of it.
Yeah, the biggest change I saw in terms of just technique was guys who would formerly clamp and lock the ball down now have to clamp and
get it out. Yeah.
That move has become so important to have in your repertoire as a face-off midfielder.
Yeah, and I didn't want to go too far down that, G. Shannon, but I did want to make sure we hit on it because I think as we see the X-Men, grow and that sort of, a position and I think a piece of the game that we continue to narrow in on and really get more answers, you know, the success rates, you know, what kids, whether they're coming from different sports, are having more success in it. And I think you're seeing it, you know, through the professional ranks, folks are really lending themselves and giving back to this knowledge of what they've learned at the X. And you're seeing it from a guy like Trevor Baptiste this summer, coaching club and making his way around the circuit to share the knowledge. So, I think that's more importantly, outside of all the other positions, one that you're going to see IL really deep dive into a little bit more. Before we move completely out of the October issue, there is another big piece of it. I'm going to talk with our IL women editor, Hallie, later on the women's side. But there are still that young gun rankings, you know, that everyone, I think, wants to turn the page on. Either you're a kid, you want to see your name in there. You're a high school coach, you want to see a couple of your players' names in there. You know, so these young gun rankings, they're out there. They're live. Folks, you can find them in the new IL October issue. And these are your seniors, your class of 2016s, your class of 2017s, and your class of 2018s sort of lined up. So what can we expect in this young gun ranking? Any big surprises? Any big debates that went on over there in the IL newsroom just to give us a sense of I mean, there's so many young guns out there, G-Shan.
It is funny. It's interesting. It's these lists, the term living document gets used too much, but that's what they are. So right. I'm gonna call them that. It's fun to watch players start out in our top 25 sophomore rankings, work their way up the rankings to those senior rankings. And I think it's important to look at those evolutions over time, and these give you a snapshot of those evolutions. So I enjoy that. I mean, within the issue, the freshest take on any group of players are going to be those sophomore young gun watch lists. Those are the kids who they've spent a year in high school, they spent a year on the summer circuit, they're in the game at this point. And so who's going to be that number one kid? Who's going to be some of the risers in that class? Who are some of the kids that showcase well early, but then as we follow them down the list, they don't put the work in, or the world passes them by a little bit, and where do they land? It's where we kind of start with this crew. With the commitment process, is there pressure to go even younger? Maybe. I like doing it this way, though, because I like to see at least a year of high school.
A year of high school,
I think you got to get a seer of where these kids have a sense of their systems. Are they playing on varsity? Are they starting on varsity? Are they contributors on varsity? Are they just still, do they have strong aspects of their game, but are they continuing to develop in other aspects of their game? I think that's an important process that has to be allowed before you can get a good, ranking on them. That's my philosophy, at least. So that's the most important list that we do. And then the juniors and the seniors, I think, are a continuation of that recruiting process. And again, we'll take all those players when they reach their collegiate year, and we'll do that Power 100 with them. And again, it's an evolutionary process. It's fun to watch the growth. And these lists give you a snapshot of that growth at one particular point in time. Again, when we talk about improvements, I'd love to be able to do that snapshot a couple times a year and really get a sense of where these guys are. Even more focus over time, but I think traditionally this has been a wonderful little breathing period for these guys. We get out of their high school season, they get out of their summer circuit, they can take a break at this point, maybe play a little football in the fall, and we can look and get a sense of where we think their body of work has put them.
And I think that's a great thing too when we talk about specifically the top 50 seniors, right? These kids aren't stopping playing either. They make a commitment. They only know that now it's the work is still going to keep going. And it's great that you get to see, just right off the, I'll give you guys, the guy Docs Atkin, right? Mm-hmm. Who at Haverford School going to UVA, guaranteed he had his stick in his hands a lot this summer, right? And it's continuing to these guys where, as we said before, are going to be pushing one another, and they see themselves as, these top prospects. They want to hold that stake, right? And now it's sort of pride, but it also probably pushes them a little bit more to say, I got a little target on my chest now, right? Not that it wasn't there prior, but...
You mentioned Docs. Docs is one of those guys. Tremendous athlete. Great... topside Dodger guy can just run an offense from the midfield, and you saw him, and you talk about someone who competed. I mean, the whole group of these kids participated in the U19 tryouts this summer. Really, really competitive, talking to some of the guys that were part of that. I mean, it was a grind. It was a 3-day grind where they really wanted to showcase their best stuff. A lot of those guys then rolled right into the Under Armour All-American underclass tournament, and I saw Docs and a lot of the Philly guys playing that right after those tryouts, and they ended up winning that tournament from that. And I gotta imagine, I know some kids it was rough, but it was a commitment to what they wanted to do with their summer and really improve and play as a team and continue to be important assets to their high school program, to their futures. It's fun. It's a rough but a fun process to watch at the same time. If you like people competing, if you like watching people compete, the summertime can be a really good time for guys to really put that work in.
Definitely. I mean, I see it on my own campus. I see it when we are at our events. And you can just see it now as I look at this list. And it's not just names, as Jeff mentioned. The extra effort that our staff goes into to give you a sense of who these players are. It, you know, really allows not you just to see a player's name and the school he represents and maybe where he's going, but you know, really what he brings to the table and why he's kind of separated himself amongst the pack. And you know, for all those young athletes that are out there, you know, wondering how do they get themselves, you know, within a ranking, or how do they get seen? The one thing I'll just say is keep playing. You know, keep playing the game. You're going to be found, as we talk about all the time on the show, you're going to be found in a college-ranked program. But IL is out there, and, you know, we have the best writers in the game. But we also have, as Jeff mentioned earlier, a collaborative effort from folks across the country, inside these walls, that really take it seriously when it comes to the rankings and just the little added effort on the snapshots of each of these players and you know, what they've put in. It's a new, I think, evolution in our game. And as we always say, you know, when people teeter the fact whether it's good or bad, I can only say that it's a great thing that more young players are aspiring to play in the college ranks.
I think for me, that I don't like. I'm a reporter. I go out and I cover the scene. I provide my opinion on the recruits. I'm not a big guy in terms of offering advice. I think you got to do what's best for you. But the one thing I will say is play. Just go out there, play. Play because you love it. Play because you like being on a team. You like your friends. You like the sport. And there's always room to improve, and always focus on your skills and you know, work on your athleticism. You will be found out if you're good. That is 100% true. Someone will help you. Someone will find you. Ryan Boyle, one of an old friend who also works a lot in the recruiting scene, has a line that, you know, these are the one percenters. These are the 1% kids. It's important to love the game and play, and the right opportunity will find you. I think that's the important thing to always put out. I like writing about these kids because these are kids that we're going to see on Saturdays on ESPN. But there's a whole world of lacrosse that you should want to participate in. Division III. I mean, Steven can talk to him about this. Division III. Some of the best skill players and some of the most fun lacrosse that you'll play will be at the Division III level. Division II has so many opportunities for guys to get out there. And that's who the vast majority of these recruits are. You want to take advantage of those opportunities as much as it'd be nice to get into these schools. Those opportunities are so worth it, and you definitely want to follow those and pursue those just as well.
And folks, you heard it first from the one, the only, Jeff Shannon, our Inside Lacrosse feature and recruiting editor. Jeff, I really appreciate the time today and dropping in and giving us a quick sneak view. I'm right now checking it out on our digital edition, which I know many folks can do now. It is out. It is live. So if you haven't subscribed yet, if you haven't bought a subscription, make sure you do it. If you want a digital subscription, check out all the information. You can find it on www.insidelacrosse.com. We only have two more issues to go this October, which we just finished, our December issue. And I know our team is getting ready to put themselves back into the working minds and put the Face-Off Yearbook 2016 edition back out for the market to see. And we're back in print. We're back in print for the second year in a row. Took a little hiatus, but we're back in print, which I think is what many folks wanted to see again, is the Face-Off Yearbook, you know, back in that print copy. So, Jeff, appreciate the time. Hopefully I can get you back on as we gear up for next season. And, you know, as I do with every one of my guests, I have to kind of get your pump-up song. So I'm going to lay the scene for you first. Let me lay the scene for you. You just came down, big game at Curley High School, Friday night game before maybe senior prom is kicking off the next day. You just scored a game winner, and you have an opportunity to have your own song come on after you score the game winner. What song is it?
Is this from when I was in high school or now?
That's a great question. You know what?
What 1999 Jeff?
I think. Let's hear first. What would 1999 Jeff want to hear?
Oh, 1990 Jeff loved Sublime at the time, so it'd be something out of that catalog. What I Got, or
yes, or great. Everyone, I think everyone had
something
that
with a riff. Yeah, everyone. Wow. I mean, that album ruled my party.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. Okay, so that's where
1990 Jeff scores the game goal with his D-stick. You know, and with a full field run, shooting the ball. So then we're kicking into What I Got after that. So.
Okay, all right. I like it. I like it, folks. Now, what about now, though? Like, right now?
Oh, right now my music tastes are so much more nuanced that it's going to be hard to... one of my favorite bands is one called the Drive-By Truckers, and they have some really good, like, hardcore rock, Devil Don't Stay.
Love me some good drive-bys. Yeah, yeah.
It would be something out of their hardcore rock sound.
Okay.
Yeah, the Devil Don't Stay, one of those songs.
So. All right, I'll try to tease something up for you, Jeff. So appreciate the time, man.
Awesome, Steve.
Awesome. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, folks, for tuning in. We're going to be back here very shortly. I'm going to give you a little bit of Drive-By Truckers as we get our second guest of the show, Hallie Quinlan, on for IL Women to give us a sneak peek of what we have in store for October issue and what's going on in the IL Women scene.
My daddy played poker in the woods, they say, back in his younger days. Prohibition was a talk with the rich folks walked to the woods where my daddy stayed. Jugs and jars of shiners, these old boys here, they ain't miners. They came from the 29ers that didn't take a hole in the ground to put the bottom in their face.
Inside the Boss Podcast.
I am back. Thank you so much for that quick break. Really appreciate it. Jeff Shannon left us with some great knowledge, gave us a nice, beautiful sneak peek here in our October issue, and really in order to do what's right for our game and really what's right within our offices, it wouldn't be fair for me to just give everyone a sneak peek on what's going on the men's side of the sport, and I have to make sure I share the wealth, share the knowledge, and more importantly, give much respect to another great great sport within our game, and that's the women's game, the women's lacrosse. IL Women is really a big piece of our business and a big portion of what we try to drive content wise, and the one to really bring in to shed light is our own editor, our own IL Women editor, the guru, the woman, the myth, the legend, and that's Hallie Quinlan. Hallie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Steven. Happy to be here. Happy to chat some laughs with you today.
I love it. I can't wait. So what's going on real quick before we dive too deep? How's it going? How was the weekend? Did you enjoy your time? I believe you're up in New York City.
Yeah, we were up here this weekend. Football kicked off a couple years ago. I started in the Fantasy Football League, so have that going for me. I'm a Giants fan, so they kicked off last night. U.S. Open capped off. It was a late night. Up watching Djokovic and Federer, and I actually made it to the U.S. Open last weekend. I'm a huge tennis fan. It was a big weekend for me, and now this week I'm obviously just heading into the unveiling of a lot of our recruiting content, so big week at Inside the Cross, too.
You nailed it. I mean, this is as we embark towards our fall journeys, and we try to really get into what the fall holds for us for lacrosse fans. You know, yeah, football's rocking and rolling. U.S. Open was exciting, but you hit the nail on the head, man. The lacrosse scene is exploding, and You know, I think it's not just, as we mentioned earlier, it's not just going on the men's side of the ball. It's definitely happening on all full cylinders on the women's side. Hallie, before I go too much in depth, I do want to give our listeners just a quick little background and give them a snapshot of who you are, where you're coming from, your knowledge of the game. Basically, just to give the listeners, give our fans a quick snapshot of your history. You were recently brought on in March 2014. You spent 3 years contributing to IL Women after being, you know, based in New York City, covering the sport. Prior to it, you were working in a lot of different sports divisions, so you're spanning the market, and it seems like, you know, with your love, your niche, and your passion for the game, that this role really fits you well. Coming from Syracuse University, a member of the women's lacrosse team, obviously, you know, being under head coaches Gary Gate and Lisa Miller, I'm sure was pretty special. I'm sure you picked up a lot of great things there. And, you know, to go down the list of your accolades, four-time IWL LCA All-American selection, a four-time All-Big East selection, two-time NCAA National Semifinalist on the Orange, and a two-time NCAA All-Tournament Team honoree. And we can't forget the Big East Conference Academic All-Star, hitting the books, not just the success on the field. So, most notable, which I think is probably the highest, one of the highest sort of honors to receive in the game, and that's sort of your involvement and your membership on the USA squad in 2008-2009. So, you know, not to make you blush too much, you know, those honors and sort of your involvement in the sport is unique, it's special, and probably gives you, you know, the confidence and the platform that you're able to stand on today as the IL Women editor.
Yeah, you know, it was a great experience. Obviously, growing up in upstate New York, lacrosse is and has been huge ever since I was a young girl. Growing up outside of the Albany area, being able to play for, you know, really our state powerhouse, which was Syracuse. I grew up a Syracuse fan, football and basketball and lacrosse. So being able to play lacrosse, obviously representing the national team too, it was great. And post-collegiately, it's, you know, I tell people what my job is, and a lot of people, you know, they say, you must be living your dream. And it is. I find myself very fortunate to continue to be involved in the sport, but on the editorial side here in Denver.
So, you know, when you mentioned you're living every lacrosse girl's dream, can you give that sort of quick snapshot? What is your role? You know, what does it consume as the IL Women editor? I mean, you know, I'm sure your plate's pretty full with our sport only growing, and the IL on the women's side, you know, you're really the one taking the, taking the claim in this sport, in this game, and also, you know, kind of being very creative and innovative as we look at the girls' growth, and sort of the categories and the things that we're covering. So, give the fans a little sense of what you got going on here and what you're looking to do for the game.
Yeah, you know, you hit the nail on the head with it. Soup to nuts. I deal with everything women's lacrosse, girls lacrosse related at Inside Lacrosse. You know, when I came on, Daniel Bernstein, who was my predecessor in the position, she started IL Women, and she really had a vision. And when I took over, I wanted to see that vision through. So it's really just been continuing to put up the best coverage that we can that spans collegiate, high school, recruiting, international content, getting some of that lifestyle content up, you know, making sure that there's more pages in our magazine dedicated to women's lacrosse, making sure that we're creative with our social media avenues, how we're really reaching our readers, and, you know, how we're putting out the best quality content. You know, I kind of try to drive the ship on that, but, you know, the staff at Inside the Cross, Terry Foy, Matt Kinnear, Zach Favo, you know, Jeff Shannon, they've been great. You know, everyone jumped in. Everyone lent a helping hand. We were out in full force this summer at a number of recruiting events, including our own. Our event staff is exceptional. We had our first IL Women Invitational that went incredibly well. We have our prospect days this fall. We're going to have events next summer as well. And then, you know, really my role, it's it's my dream. I'm a fan of the sport. I love watching the sport. So, you know, my job to go to college lacrosse games on the weekend and to go to practices this fall with our all-access series, it's, you know, it's work, but it's kind of a labor of love. You know, it's what I love to do. I would be watching these games anyways. So, you know, I have a lot of fun with it.
And as we can hear kind of in the background, Hallie lives in New York and it is on the move a fair amount. I mean, I would say I try to drop by here and there at her desk, but, you know, typically there's an out of office note on her chair just because, as she mentioned, she is really taking the reins and, you know, doing everything that she can to cover this sport. And, you know, I am a huge fan. I have a younger sister who played the game. I have a ton of respect for what the women athlete does in the sport. The women's lacrosse game is phenomenal, and it's just really, as we talk about a lot on the men's side, it is growing as much as it is on the men's side. And I'm sure, Hallie, you've seen that, not only as your role here at Inside Lacrosse for the past few years, but, you know, just your ranks as you grew up through the high school and in the college powers. So can you give our fans and listeners just a sense of sort of what that change has been like? And since you've been here at IL, you know, and really in your second recruiting issue, you know, what are some changes that you've seen, whether it's for the good or maybe some things that we need to fix?
As it pertains to recruiting, the game itself.
Well, I don't know if we have enough time. I don't know if we have enough time to really go in through all the issues of the recruiting, but no, just from HQ's mind, you know, just want to kind of see, you know, you've been in the driver's seat with IL Women for the past 2 years, as you mentioned, and you were once a high school athlete. So yeah, I mean, maybe let's hit the nail on the head. Let's go right after it. As it relates to recruiting. You know, what's kind of been the main stage, or what's sort of been some things that you've seen for the good of the sport, or maybe some things that you feel, you know, could improve or should change?
Yeah, well, you know, not to age myself here, but, you know, when I started playing lacrosse when I was younger, you know, there were no hard boundaries. You know, I think that the evolution of the sport, what's most glaring is just the rule changes we've seen. You know, I think the NCAA Rules Committee did a great job this past summer really putting in some rules to spark change. In 2 years, we're going to be seeing a possession clock. That's really exciting. The fastest game on 2 feet, and I think the rules that they put through kind of ensure that it will be a fast-paced game. You know, as I grew up through high school and college, you know, just as we've seen those rules change, I think the recruiting and collegiate landscape has vastly changed as well. You know, when I was a junior in high school, people were still taking their official visits. You know, people, if they were committing, the earliest was that junior year going into senior year. You know, I will say that these kids are committing younger and younger. You know, the quality of competition that I see when I'm out on the recruiting road is really something that, you know, it's really special, because you see these kids that I think they're a lot better than I was when I was their age. They're so good. They're so talented. And they're not just from the Long Island, Baltimore, upstate New York hotbeds. You know, we're seeing All-Americans and studs coming out of Texas, Colorado, California, which to me is really special, just because the overall growth of the sport. You know, we've seen the rules changing. We've seen this recruiting world change. But, you know, it's really just so important to our sport is how fast it's really growing across the country. You know, I think that's really one of the most exciting parts. And here at Inside Lacrosse, we try to capture all of that. In addition to what's going on and this recruiting issue, you know, more women recruiting content than we've ever had in the past. You know, I think we're just scratching the surface. And when you're going through, you know, you're seeing states that I just mentioned, you know, the girls coming out of the, quote, non-traditional hotbeds, going to phenomenal programs, really looking to make an impact. And it's nice to get out there for these interviews, these photo shoots, really put faces to names, getting to know these kids. All of them are awesome. And really just, for me, it's special because I'm introduced to them at such a young age, and I get to follow their career, you know, throughout the end of their high school game and into college. So it was a blast putting this one together.
That seems like it's, so as I talked to Jeff, one of the you know, one of the unique pieces of the, you know, when you talk about the recruiting world, you know, you're not just, you know, seeing a player's name or a jersey number. You know, you're really getting to know a lot more about these athletes, and you're really trying to, you know, understand and of course, not just highlight how many goals or how many great plays they have, but as Jeff mentioned, it's the little things that you learn about these kids over a course of a few years, and it's become more, you know, more years that we're getting to know these student athletes. You know, you and I, you know, we committed our senior years. So I'm sure, you know, there wasn't too much of a history, where there now tends to be larger history of these players. And I'm sure you can scale back your notes, for some of these players for a few years and just say, hey, I remember seeing her last summer, and man, her game has really grown and evolved over the course of, you know, 6 to 12 months. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, and I think the unique piece, you know, that I'll let you shed a little light on is, as you look at these classes, the top 10 classes, and not to go too much into it because we don't want to give it away, you know, all too well, but these classes, I'm sure your time over the past couple of years and in really as you geared up for this issue, looking at those classes and really kind of shaping up and saying, you know, which one really ranks to the top, you know, which one is sort of fitting in the middle of the 5 through 10. How hard is that? And, you know, do you see yourself, you know, kind of pulling your hair out at times, or because of so much of the ongoing homework that you've done and the, you know, research and the folks that you work with, both in the college and high school ranks, does it make it easier for you?
You know, getting out there, seeing these kids, being on the phone with high school coaches, club coaches, college coaches, just really maintaining those relationships is huge for me in my role, really just for any of the coverage that we do. Going to these tournaments throughout the summer, seeing these kids play for their high school teams, keeping track of what they've accomplished, has been huge. You know, I like to think I do my homework and I do it well, but by no means is it a science. You know, you kind of just piece together what you think, you know, this kid's impact level might be. You know, to say that, it's really up to the student athlete once they get to campus, once they get to college, kind of how they continue to elevate and grow their game. You know, this year for our rankings, you know, there were really two classes that fought for that top spot. And, you know, one of the classes, the class that we went with, I just felt top to the bottom, had players that could impact each and every position immediately, for a team that was right in the title hunt last year and graduated some key players at roles. So I think that it's looking to see what these kids talent-wise can bring to the team, but also looking at that team and seeing, you know, can they use that talent right away? How will these kids fit into their system? So by no means it's not a science. It was my second year doing it, leaning on people like Jeff and people like Daniel Bernstein and a lot of the club coaches and high school coaches and college coaches that we work together with. And I'm really excited, and I'm happy the way that DSU turned out. We featured incoming college freshmen, rising seniors, rising juniors, and rising sophomores for the first year ever. It was crazy. You mentioned we committed when we were seniors. These sophomores are so good, and they're committing to top programs. We wanted to dedicate a page to them and some of the kids that we think we may be writing about for the next 4 or 5 years to come. So I'm really happy the way it came out, and I'm excited to announce we're actually putting together a special edition girls high school cover for Inside the Cross recruiting issue. You know, a lot of work went into it, and I'm really happy with how everything turned out.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I'm sure now, you know, I'm looking as I cruise through here, you know, the top IL women, the top 50 freshmen, right? Well, on the men's side, you know, we have a top 100. I don't see us, I could see in a year or maybe, you know, even next October's issue, I think the growth on the women's side, I think we could easily have the top 100 freshmen, you know, and that's just sort of a credit to what your role and what your job has been doing in here and raising the bar as it comes to covering the women's game. But, it also, I think, is a true testament to the number of athletes, student athletes that are out there playing the women's game, and they're, you know, pursuing a dream, a goal to play in the college ranks. So, it's phenomenal. My hat's off to you as you continue to grow, you know, the IL Women brand, but also as you continue to grow, you know, sort of this recruiting, you know, next phase in which people really want to know about. And that's, you know, what kids are venturing onto these campuses this fall and what type of impact, you know, they're going to make. So, you know, it's not just, you know, names of athletes, but it's, as I mentioned before, the little extra effort that, Hallie puts into it to give you a sort of a sense of who these girls are, you know, the work they've put in, and, you know, something that I think is different than we've done on the women's side, but you're getting quotes and you're getting notes from coaches about these players, which is pretty cool. Can you give us a sense of how that goes? And I'm sure some of these college coaches are finally excited to really put out there what they have in store for their recruiting classes coming on campus.
Yeah, every coach I spoke to about these incoming freshmen that, you know, now they're on campus, they've been in class for a few weeks now, every coach is just so excited. You know, I think that come Memorial Day weekend, you know, really playoffs in May, you know, coaches are so focused on their team, as they should be. You know, those 4 years that really comprise that team is in a hunt for a national championship. Come the summer, you know, they probably take a little break. I know if I were a coach, they're telling me to take a little mental snooze, you know, probably just lay back, relax for a bit. But probably after a week, you know, these coaches are just itching to get back on campus. You know, it's why they do what they do. And they look to these incoming freshmen to, you know, see how they can help in a quest for a national championship. And I think that this incoming freshman class, you know, the talent we got, things like the World Games for the United team, the Under Armour All-American game, you know, I'm excited to see how these girls can impact the College of Game over the next 4 years.
So we've given our fans a little sneak peek of what they can expect in this month's October issue coming out, and I believe it'll be hitting doorsteps here in the next few weeks. I know folks can already get a look at it on our digital version online, so don't delay. Get out there, check it out, you know, see what teammates, see if your name is listed as a top prospect or a top recruit that IL has, you know, recently put their stake on. So before I let you get out of here, though, I know that you have a lot other big things going on as it relates to the IL Women brand and really what you're trying to do this fall. Can you give us a sense of what we should be looking for this fall from IL Women, from you, Hallie?
Absolutely. Well, fall is really exciting. It's you know, one of my favorite times of year. We do a few different things in the fall. One thing I love is our Fall Alexa series. We get out there on college campuses, going to team practices, really seeing how coaches prepare their teams in the off season, how some of these newcomers do look, how some of these transfers look, you know, what a certain unit looks after graduating the bulk of its leading scorers or the bulk of its defenders. You know, it's really fun. We launched the series last year. We're excited to show our readers, give them behind-the-scenes look at some new teams that they didn't see last year. You know, I personally am excited to get out to some. We have Katie Kress, who your sister played with on the national team. She's going to be kind of our go-to writer in the Midwest. So she's going to be going to schools like Ohio State and Notre Dame, really just bringing our readers an inside look. And then we're excited for our IL Women Prospect Days. We're going to be having a Mid-Atlantic, an Upstate New York, and a Dallas Prospect Day to get out there and see some of this top competition that's high school age girls, really just getting them in front. A lot of the content coverage that we offer the girls from an editorial standpoint is very similar to what we did for our IL Women Invitational. So we're excited there. We're going to be doing some Instagram takeovers with college teams. So these young girls, parents alike, can really get a behind-the-scenes look at what it is to be a student athlete, a day in the life of a student athlete at places like Princeton, Loyola, some other colleges to come. You know, we're just really excited to continue to enhance our coverage on all ends. You know, we'll be highlighting some IL Women gear, showing you, you know, the latest fix, the latest training techniques that that we've had our eye on. You know, we really have just kind of the last month, you know, August is kind of that lull in the lacrosse schedule. Recruiting tournaments are over. You know, kids are just getting back to campus, but we gear up and we go full throttle September, October, November to show our readers what's going on during fall ball.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head about, you know, the all-fall access, you know, the Instagram takeovers. You know, to me, this is just one little piece that IL women and that really, Hallie, you've kind of taken as a sort of a nice little cornerstone of what you do, and that's the ins and outs of these college programs. And for many people, it's the first time that they can see. I know when we had a conversation last week about, you know, where you were heading and, you know, how excited you were. And you just kind of mentioned how unique it is in the fall, as opposed to the spring. You know, it's a little bit looser. You know, the camaraderie there seems to be with the upperclassmen, you know, bringing the underclassmen underneath their arms. And it just sounds like it's sort of that perfect, atmosphere for you to capture. And I know if I was a student athlete back then, looking at schools, it's a perfect time for me to see, hey, what kind of practices are they running? What kind of gear do they have? What kind of facilities, is the coach, what kind of tactics are they teaching them? So on and so forth. So, you know, I think you're really giving our fans, you know, what they want. And that's that behind the scenes sort of sneak behind the curtain. So hats off to you. And is there, I know last year you hit about 10 or so sites. Can you give our fans, you know, maybe some ideas of where you're heading this fall with the all access on the college scene?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, our first stop actually next week, we'll be stopping by West Point. You know, Army's just kicking off their programs. We want to get up there with Coach Lagbo and see how she's getting her freshman, her first year is acclimated into Division I women's lacrosse. You know, from there, Katie Rowan just took over the program at Wagner. So we'll be going to Staten Island to see, you know, how she's really been getting them ready. You know, as I mentioned, Katie Kress is going to be hitting the Midwest hard. So you can expect some behind-the-scenes look at places like Ohio State, Notre Dame, Louisville, Cincinnati, Notre Dame, sorry, Northwestern. Last year, actually last spring, I was out in San Francisco. I stopped by, got some behind-the-scenes look at Stanford. So we'll be throwing some content up with them. You know, we'll just be trying to highlight really as many schools as we can. And this year, the schools that we don't get to, we'll get to next year. You know, this is a series that Matt Kinnear and I had so much fun with last year in particular. You know, when we were looking at editorial planning for the fall, that was number one that was on our list. You know, last year we did, you know, a number of programs. We really won't be repeating any this fall. And then we hope to, you know, slowly tack away and show our readers some different programs every fall. That's the goal.
Well, I know that there's more and more programs as I see each year and every summer, it seems like more and more are adding women's lacrosse. So, I'm sure your falls will become a lot more packed with these trips. And, I'm sure that these college coaches and players are very happy to see you when you show up. So, now you had mentioned the IL recruiting events, the fall recruiting events for the women, you know, because we've done some good coverage on our IL recruiting events, but I know that this past summer was our first really jump into the deep end as we've launched our first IL women recruiting invitational. And you mentioned this fall we're heading off to three places or spaces in which you can be seen. And I'm talking to you, student athletes. So I'm sure many of the folks are out there going, how do I become how does my name end up in the October issue? You know, how do I get, ranked from the one and only Hallie Quillenin? Like, how does it happen? And I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. Go out there, play. You know, our events are obviously one place where you can be seen, where there will be coaches on board and editorial staff, you know, checking out, you know, the talent out there. But I think, you know, from my, you know, point of view and really what I've seen is the players that showcase themselves, that just go out and play the game as hard as they can, they'll be found, they'll be seen, and I'm sure, they'll turn your head if you're at a site where they are at. So are there any tips, let's say, that you could give maybe to some student athletes out there, whether it's, I want to be found in the next Inside Lacrosse magazine, or, you know, just some youngsters who are looking to really evolve their game in this sport, and maybe live a dream like you're living.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I think a great place to be seen. We will be out in full force at our events. So that is a great place to be seen, but we really do our best to get out a number of events throughout the fall. And the President's Cup is a huge event. I was down there last year. I'm going to be down there this year. Throughout the summer, you know, Under Armour games, we go to so many events. We really do our due diligence to get to high school games, state championships, everything of that nature. You know, we really try to be out in full force to see so many of these athletes play. And, you know, what we look for in particular, you know, it's really just the kind of play that gets you noticed by college coaches. It gets you noticed at the end of the day. I love when a player's hustling. You know, you can never be out-hustled. That's the mentality that I loved playing with. That's the mentality that I loved my teammates playing with. You know, I like when players make smart decisions. I love when they're team players. Defensively and really all over the field, but especially defensively in net, communication is so key. Those 50-50 battles. If you win 50-50 battles, you win a place in my heart. I love causing turnovers. I love players that really get after the ground balls. You know, really just making the smart play and the hustle play time and time again. We love to see that, and the players in the pages of our magazine really turned our heads doing just that this time around. And, you know, obviously we'll be putting together, you know, we included our top players and substantial watch lists. You know, we're looking forward to putting that together for next year, and it really is a year-long process. You know, the minute we put our recruiting issue out the door, we're basically starting to work on another, because we do get right out there at all of these events. So it's exciting that we kind of closed the door on this recent recruiting issue, but, you know, come tomorrow, you know, we're starting day one all over again.
That's exactly right, and I'm sure you're amped up as we've talked here in length about just the importance of your role here at Inside Lacrosse and really what you've done in a short time over the past really 2 years or so as we kind of venture into your second year. You know, so I know that the passion that you put into this, as well as the effort and the integrity behind it, it really doesn't match anyone else out there in our sport. So, Hallie, hats off to you for what you're doing. And, again, to all the young laxers out there, all the young women laxers out there, again, check out the IL Women Invitationals. There's three prospect days. There's a Mid-Atlantic, which is going on October 10th in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at Franklin and Marshall College. There's another one up in your old neck of the woods, Hallie, the Upstate Girls Prospect Day, Saturday, October 17th in Syracuse, New York. And then the Inside Lacrosse C2C Spotlight Texas Girls Prospect Day will be going on Saturday, Sunday, October 24th and 25th in the great state of Texas. So if it's not those events that you're at, again, as Hallie mentioned, you know, she is all over, as well as has a lot of connections and relationships and folks that constantly are pinging her and hitting her up on the, you know, sort of the next best player on the scene. So make sure you go out, you work hard, you hustle. I love the fact that you mentioned hustling. I'll take a kid any day of the week that hustles and may not have the amount of skill. And also just leave the passion. I think if anyone can put passion as much as they can, just like Hallie has, as Josh mentioned and Jeff most recently, the passion in our sport is out there, and there's many kids just really laying it out on the line to put themselves, you know, in, you know, what's the, you know, the next thing, and that's the dream of playing college lacrosse. So, Hallie, you know, before I kind of let you go and get you back onto your work day, you know, anything else that you want to leave the fans as you kind of venture in? As you mentioned, you close one October recruiting issue and you look to, head into a new year, a 2016 season. You know, anything you want to leave the fans before we take off?
You know, thanks so much for having me. Really the one thing, you know, our contact information, our email addresses, our Twitter handles, everything. It's on our website for a reason. We want to hear from you. If there's a story idea that you haven't seen, you know, if there's any information that you want to see in our magazine, on our website, we love to get feedback from our readers and from lacrosse fans. So, you know, hcolin@insidelacrosse.com. If you go to our website, it's on there too. I love to hear from our readers, and I love getting emails about our content that's up there or content that might not be up there yet.
And, of course, give a shout-out to our social media channels. I know you're constantly on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. At IL Women on Instagram and Twitter, at HR Quillenin on Twitter. We want to hear from you on our social media channels. And, yeah, we're just looking to really grow the sport and get it out there, and we love hearing from all of you guys.
I love it. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, as I do with every one of my guests, Hallie, I can't let you off the hook. I'm going to give you a closeout song here. And as I did with G-Shan earlier, I kind of brought him back to his high school days, which was kind of funny, but I said, you know, G-Shan, you're going down the field. You make a split as a big defender on a midfielder. You crow hop it and you score a game winner. You know, what would your theme song that would be played? So I'm going to ask you that, Hallie, and I'll bring you to your, I'll bring you to your Syracuse days. That way you don't have to go back too far. Let's say you have a game-winning goal or a play in which, you know, your teammates are rushing out to you to raise you up on their shoulders. A theme song comes on. What song is that for you?
Oh, my goodness. That's a tough one. I'm so bad with music. I am Jeff and McNear are kind of like the music folks on our team. I certainly listen to music, but I'm not a fan of anyone more so in particular. At Syracuse, whenever we would score a goal or whenever there would anything over the dome, they would be playing Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I guess I'll go with that because that's what was played in college. You hit me on the spot with that one. I'm not sure what I would choose to have played.
All right, well then, how about I'll throw you a little next little simple, I threw you a curveball. I can understand. I threw you a curveball. Well, what about right now, if I were to pick up your iPod or pick up your iPhone, what would be, say, a top song right now on your playlist that you would just, you know, love to pop in your headphones and cruise down the New York City?
Well, I mean, if you look in my playlist, I definitely listen to Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen, a lot of Sinatra, kind of a New York girl. You know, one song actually that my niece, who's huge into music, she's actually a lacrosse player up for New Rochelle. She is kind of the music guru in our family, and the song by the Bleachers is I Want to Get Better. And I love running to that song. It's kind of like, I want to get back in shape. That's like my motivation music.
I love it. I love it. I've not heard that, but I definitely will be enjoying that as we close out this podcast. But first, I want to thank our guest, Hallie from IL Women, our IL Women editor. Thank you so much for the time today. I am I'm fired up for what you have going on. And I know that it's really just the start, just a kickoff of what, you know, you mentioned, you know, what we have going on in our offices, but really what, you know, you're trying to bring to the table for the IL Women category and for all those athletes out there, the programs out there. So keep up the great work. Thank you so much for your time and energy and passion today, and continue to do everything that you do for our sport. So with that, I will let you go and get back to your work, and we'll be in touch very soon.
All right, awesome. Thanks so much, Berger.
You got it. Enjoy the day. And for the rest of you lacrosse fans, make sure you tune in, you subscribe, check out our podcast. We're going on every week as we give you the ins and outs of the game, our sport, Inside Lacrosse, the source of the sport. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the time. See ya.
Myself to give up on the past, 'cause I've frozen time between hearses and caskets, lost
Inside Lacrosse Podcast.